Rule 11. Cheerfully willing to endure the lot and portion of the whole church, partaking in prosperity and affliction, and to not draw back upon any occasion whatever. Matthew 13:20, He that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word and anon with joy receives it, yet he has no root in himself, so endures but for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. Hebrews 10:23, Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draws back my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas has forsaken me having loved this present world. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Clarification 11. Backsliding from the practice of any way of Christ, or the faithful use of any ordinances, which were taken up upon a conviction of his institution, is in no small degree an apostasy from Christ himself. Apostasy, in what degree soever, is attended with all that aggravation which a willful surrender of the tasted sweetness and goodness from God in exchange for the temporary things of this world which one can lay upon. Seldom it is that backsliders are without pretenses in their falling away from Christ, though commonly of what they forsake in respect of what they pretend to retain of the world, they say as Lot of Zoar, is it not a little one? But yet without exception we see that such things generally tend to more ungodliness. Every unrecovered step backwards away from Christ further exposes a falseness within the heart, revealing what former pretenses have been there. Fools or unbelievers are they, who from ill motives of seemingly any sort, which were stirred up out of their corrupt hearts, that readily embrace whatever temporal things that are seen, when being presented away to them with appealing colors or pretenses designed to deceitfully justify their declining from their gospel duty and return to this present world. For their lust will not allow them to want in part, and that for which they should yield to in their being tempted, will surely separate them further from Christ. Therefore, it is the small beginnings of great evils which are to be resisted. For the neglect of the duty of which we address, is always accompanied with indifference or irreverence for the communion of saints. Selfishness and self-righteousness are main causes for the great dishonor and confusion whereinto most churches in the world are fallen. This love of the world, which Demas yielded to, was in part touched on before, and because of such it is a righteous thing with God to suffer the sons of men to wax vain in their imaginations, in whom neither the love of Christ nor the terror of the Lord prevails against their love for the world or fear of men. May this then, with the danger and abomination of backsliding, make such an impression on the hearts of the saints, that with full purpose of heart they might cleave unto the Lord, and follow hard after him in all his ordinances. This they must do, so that if and when persecution arise, they may cheerfully follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. For then, by their faithfully adhering close one to another, all might receive such mutual assistance and supportment as that their joint prayers may prevail with the goodness of God, and by their joint sufferings overcome the wickedness of men. Now, for a close adhering to the church wherein we walk in fellowship in all conditions whatsoever, without dismission or separation upon just and equitable grounds, for the seeking and embracing of communion in some other churches, the motives are as follows: 1. The eminency and excellency of the ordinances enjoyed through obedience and faith motivated by a sacrificial love for Christ. 2. The danger of backsliding, and evidence of unsoundness in every degree thereof. 3. The obvious scandal, confusion, and disorder brought upon many people and churches by their careless neglect thereof. Rule 12. Allow no difference in respect of persons in church affairs, but readily condescend to the lowliest of persons and services, equally for the benefit and use of all the brethren. James 2:1, My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that wears the goodly apparel, and say unto him, You sit here in a good place, and say to the poor, You stand you there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and so then have become judges of evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Matthew 20:26, But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Romans 12:16, Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. John 13:12, So after he had washed their feet and had taken again his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know you what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Clarification 12. Where the Lord has not distinguished, neither ought we. In Jesus Christ there is neither rich nor poor, high nor low, but only a new creature. Generally, God has chosen the poor of this world to confound the mighty. Experience shows us that not many great, not many wise, not many mighty after the flesh, are partakers of the heavenly calling. Not that the gospel of Christ opposes in any way, or takes away those many differences and distinctions known among the sons of men that testify of their power, authority, relations, enjoyment of earthly blessings, gifts, age, or any other eminency whatsoever. Much of such is according to the institution and appointment of God, with all that respect, reverence, duty, obedience, and subjection due unto persons in those distinctions, not forgetting the ancient bounds of propriety and interest in such earthly things. But in things purely spiritual, these outward things, which for the most part happen alike in all cultures and societies, are of no value nor should be esteemed in the eyes of the saint. For all men in the church are to be considered as saints, and should not therefore be known as either great or small, rich or poor, for all in Christ are equal, and all are naked before God. For in the things of God, men are either blessed or cursed. Matthew 5:3, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. For the blessing to be cherished above all is free grace, and such as make distinctions among men in this present world are to be nothing among saints. For grace is a holy counterbalance that makes all to be brethren of the same family, servants of the same master, each employed about work to the same end, all performed by the same precious faith, empowered by the same Spirit to the enjoyment of the same purchased privileges of fellowship with the Father and His Son, sharing a common hope and expectancy of the same recompense of reward and eternal abode. Whence then should any difference arise? Let the greatest then account it their greatest honor to perform the meanest necessary service to the meanest of the saints. A community in all spiritual advantages should give equality in spiritual affairs. Not he that is richest, not he that is poorest, but he that is humblest is accepted before the Lord. Motives hereunto for such lowliness and meekness of heart are as follows: 1. Christ's example. 2. Scripture precepts. 3. God's non-acceptance of persons by class or merit. 4. Joint participation of the same common faith, hope, etc., etc. 5. The unprofitableness of all causes of outward differences in the things of God.